jam. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on twitch.tv/themanapool, which is where we broadcast live every week. What? Monday nights, usually around 8:30 p.m. Eastern?
Somewhere like that.
Ish?
Ish.
As we return to standard time.
Yes, and thank God for that. Let's end the scourge that is daylight saving time.
Yeah, it's the only time you'll ever hear me say this, but I think Arizona might have something going on there.
Well, I mean, they did end it. They just have to not bring it back next year.
And thank you, Shardren, for the bits, for the plat of the dishwasher. For those of you listening later, you'll have no idea what you're talking about, and it's funnier that way.
Yeah.
So I am Chewy, surviving.
He certainly is.
Surviving my dishwasher making horrible noises.
And for now.
To my right, with a fire ferret on his shoulder still, is Squee.
Yes, I am here.
And on the other side of the screen, way over there, is Clues.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, I am over here.
He is not wearing a Reno Jackson hat.
I am not. Who's Reno
These
Jackson?
These are factual statements.
He's a Hearthstone character.
Ah, okay. All right.
We're going to be rich. And
later on in the episode, throw in more names of Hearthstone characters that I won't know.
Oh, hey. When I hold the mouse over Clues, it says free loot. I didn't know you had loot, Clues.
Of course.
Hey.
It's not free, though. That's,
hey, Clues?
Yeah.
Pharmacist Judge just sent me a link to the Legacy Top 8. So hang on a minute.
Whoa. Where'd that come from?
Well, he was there.
Because I looked for this.
No, he was there. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
So here. There you go.
All right.
Sorry
okay.
about that stream.
All right. I'm going to just take a look at this. Late breaking news. This just handed to us.
All right. Okay, good. So we'll make fun of the website for being crappy when we get there.
Yeah.
So let's just start there while we're here. So
website is crappy. Moving on.
What?
Right.
Yes. So starting off, this weekend was Eternal Weekend in Pittsburgh, PA.
Indeed. What? Went on forever. Ever.
You know it's eternal because it got an extra hour.
Is it bad that I didn't even notice the extra hour because I think I accidentally stayed up too late that night?
I mean, that sounds right.
Hey, here's how little faith I have in our electronic devices and what they do for us these days. So I knew that when I went to bed, my watch, which is a smartwatch, which talks to my phone, which is a smartphone, would just go ahead and change the time automatically. So when I woke up, it would be completely seamless.
Yeah.
But I didn't trust that it would do that right. So I dug out one of my old digital watches that isn't a smartwatch, that's just a watch, and I set it to what the time should be tomorrow before I went to bed so that I could double check it when I woke up. So this is both a tale of how little I trust our current technology and how much of a total dork I am.
And how much of a horrible waste daylight saving time is.
Oh, it is a horrible. I'd like to rail about that.
No,
but
you do it every. You do it twice a year every year. No.
Okay. Friends don't let friends use DST ever for any reason. Stop it. Stop it now. I'm sorry. Eternal Weekend. I think we were talking about Eternal Weekend.
Yes.
Pretty sure that's a thing that was going on here. So tell me, Chewy, Eternal Weekend.
Yes. Yeah, so Eternal Weekend. Well, we've got the Vintage Top 8 here on the website.
Yep.
And we don't play Vintage, but we're just going to tell you who played what and what they played and who played it.
Well, no, wait. We have that one too. Yeah, that one's got the deck list. Okay, I'll go to that. Sorry. Carry on. Ignore me.
Okay, ignoring you. So we've got the winner, I think. Is this the winner or is this just top eight?
I think this is the winner. If you go to the Vintage, No, I think that's right. I think that is, in fact, the topic. That is the winner. That one's the winner. Beyond that, I don't know.
Okay, wait a minute. Ah, okay. So, Pharmacist Judge was there, and he sent me this spreadsheet here that actually has a proper finishing place. So, thank you.
Thanks, Internet.
All right, hang on. I have too many. There we go. Actually, you know what? We're just gonna. Oh, I can't edit this. Okay, never mind.
No, you can't. But I got to tell you, so far, this is the best show ever.
Isn't it?
It is. It's riveting, riveting
all right,
radio.
Shut up. I'm having stream issues, all right? Audio listeners, just deal with it. Okay, so it looks like Brian Koval won playing Paradoxical Mentor, which is what's it called? Paradoxical Outcome and Monastery Mentor. Okay? Okay.
All okay. right.
Now, according to this spreadsheet, which I have already lost, second place was Nam Tran, who is playing, here we go, Ravager Shops, which is Arcbound Ravager and Shops.
That's
Mishra's Workshop. There it is. Yeah. Okay? Okay.
Yep, I'm with you.
So in third and fourth, we're not entirely sure who's who, but we've got Kyle Dorgan.
Yes.
Here we go. Also playing Paradoxical Mentor.
Yes.
And Rich Shea.
Ravager Shops.
Who's running Ravager? Oh. Huh.
Patterns.
Huh. All right, then.
What do you know?
That's eerie.
Good top four.
All right. So, rounding out the top eight, we've got Matt Sperling, who is playing Pyromancer Control.
I like half of that.
Of course you do. Is it the red half?
It's the young peasy. I mean, look at him there.
Yeah. Then, like okay, who's next? Elliot Burke.
Oh, Dak Faden.
Dak Faden. There it is. Elliot Burke was playing Landstill, because that's still a thing in Vintage.
Your pun is noted in shame.
There was a pun?
Yeah, you totally did it by instinct. It's fine. Embrace it.
I don't even know what that would have been.
It's too late. Just keep pushing on.
All right.
Keep pushing on.
Next up, Marshall Arthurs was playing the Vengeful Survival deck. I have no idea what that is. What is Vengeful? Vengevine,
yeah.
Okay, and survival, I'm going to guess.
Of the fittest.
Of the fittest. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Okay.
These need more interesting legacy-like names.
No, they don't, because I can actually figure out what they're doing. And then the ending it up is Como Quok, who's running Grixis Thieves. Wait, Oh, Notion Thief. Oh. I bet that's hilarious in this format. Nice. Also, okay. Thank you to Oxy the Mellifluous, who just subbed. I recognize your name, and it's awesome. So there you go. That's the top eight in close enough order. Thank you to Pharmacist Judge for that.
Super helpful. Thank you.
And then, If you go to the legacy page, you get this, which is pairings and standings.
Yep.
Da-da-da-da.
Thanks, Card Titans website. You are officially worse than WotC, and that's saying something. So,
here, Card Titan, have a trophy.
Yeah. So we're just gonna go to this handy spreadsheet to see that Patrick Green won playing Miracles.
Indeed, it's a good thing we banned parts of that.
Mm-hmm.
Buh. Cyrus Corman Gill was running Ant in second place.
Hey, at least we know which version of Storm that was.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Pharmacist Judge, not Cyrus. I don't know him. In third and fourth place, in some order, we have Christopher Walton running the Czech Pile and Brandon DeVera running Sneak and Show. We haven't seen a Sneak and Show in a Star City Legacy thing in forever.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And then the rest of the top eight in no particular order. Matt Dilks running Turbo Depths. Brendan Hagen running Elves, which I know makes Clues happy.
Yeah, not enough elves.
Jake Weinman running Turbo Depths also. And John McDermott running Grixis Control. So there you go.
Hooray.
Legacy.
And again, we would tell you more about these decks in Legacy, but we don't have them, so...
And don't care enough to?
I believe that they contained cards.
I have learned over the years that Eternal Weekend doesn't matter at all, except to the people that it desperately matters to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably
so,
fair.
Like,
there's
the interest
not
level,
a middle ground on it.
No, the interest level in Eternal Weekend is either 0 or 100. And there's no gradient.
Very, very little middle ground, yeah.
So, yeah, for those people that care, they already know all this. And for the rest of us, here's who won.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, congratulations to everyone who is out playing the king of all formats, and I guess Vintage too.
Yeah. See what you did there.
And a big thank you.
All formats.
Big thank you to Pharmacist Judge for getting us that information, because we'd be lost without you on this one, buddy. So thanks.
Yay. Okay, then. So, excuse me, I was responding to chat. So, moving on, there was one Grand Prix this weekend.
Yep. 1552 people playing Modern.
What? Thank you for the bits, Ace. Yeah. I'm well aware of a free copy of Destiny 2 that I have no interest in ever claiming or playing.
You should play Destiny 2.
I should not play Destiny 2.
It's really good. You should play it.
No. So.
I'd be playing it right now if I weren't recording this.
Also, you're back. Okay, so your camera just froze.
He just really went funny. To go play Destiny 2.
Oh, yeah, right.
I just popped out to play some Destiny 2. I'm back. Anyone who's ever played knows that I could totally load into the tower in about 10 minutes.
The EverQuest days.
Yeah.
All right. So there was one GP this weekend. It was Grand Prix Atlanta, and it was Modern.
Yep.
Like you do.
In fact, just like you do. Why did that not open? Open that in a new tab. Thank you. So let's go look at Modern. Are they, please tell me these. I hope these are in order.
You want to believe.
So far, yes.
That looks like it.
Yeah, okay, good.
It appears to be.
All right. So the winner was person whose name that I can't pronounce. Paiwan? Paiwan Zheng? Maybe? Anybody?
I hope so.
Close enough? He was running Banned Spirits.
He's very successful of late.
The Banned Spirits?
No, him.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
I don't remember not being able to pronounce his name recently. Two GPs in a row for Banned Spirits. Did it say that he has finished well here somewhere?
I thought I read that. I could be wrong. Either way, congratulations. You obviously did well this weekend.
I mean, he won, so yeah.
Yeah.
It's a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
In second place, Piotr Glogowski is running the Ironworks combo. Yep, that's the Ironworks combo.
Ready for solitaire?
Pretty much. In third place, Christopher Larson was running the Hardened Scales Affinity deck. Affinity?
Animation module.
Not Affinity. It's just Hardened Scales.
Yeah.
Was there ever Affinity in this deck, or was that just what they called it? Or is this an actual different deck?
I think this is...
No, this looks like the same thing.
I mean, this is a counters deck more than anything.
Yeah.
So Hard Scales makes sense as a name.
So you've got the Ravager, the Worker, the Hangerback Walker, the Steel Overseer, the Walking Ballista, Animation Module. That's pretty funny. One Mishra's Bauble. Mox
That's
Opal.
That's something you find in your car.
Welding Jar, right? Darksteel Citadel, Evolutionary Leap, and of course, Hardened Scales.
Of course.
Oh, and Ancient Stirrings, because... Mostly colorless, so why not? There you go.
Can come to.
We went through great effort on one odds and ends to try to figure out how this thing could win on turn. Was it 3 or 4 or something like that?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of a fun, like, logic puzzle.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Fourth place, Kazu Negri is running Infect, because I hear lunch is good.
Hey, that reminds me, you should get a flu shot.
Yes. That is how you defeat Infect in the human meta.
Right.
Oh, Infect. I was like, what?
Yeah. What I had to make never mind. Carry on. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
I'm sorry.
In fifth place, Martin Juza is running the Hollow One deck, which they finally stopped calling Black Red Hollow One and are just calling Hollow One because it's the only one and it's hollow.
Yeah.
I think... Nope.
Oh, apparently it's Kazu. Okay.
Isn't that what I said?
I don't know, but somebody in the chat was pointing out that it's Kazu.
If that's not what I said, that's what I meant to say.
Okay, yeah, carry on. I'm sorry, Martin Yuza.
Yeah, notice the... wait, no, that's Flame Wake Phoenix. Whoa. Neat. Okay, anyway, moving on. Oh, wait, no, this is a Hollow One. Of course it's Flame Wake Phoenix. Never, ignore me, I'm tired.
Yay.
I forget what place. Sixth place, we have... How do you pronounce that series of vowels?
I don't know, but before you try, it just always amuses me that you always forget what place, and it's always on deck 6.
That is often the case, yeah.
Joao Choca? Joao? Joao Choca. Joao. We're going to go something like that. He's also
your
running.
Name is awesome. I want to know how to pronounce it. If you're listening, tell me.
It is pretty awesome. He's also running the Ironworks combo. Next up, Takumi Utsuomiya. Hang on.
Utsuomiya?
Yes, that.
Takumi Utsuomiya. Bridgevine.
Yes, he is running the Bridgevine deck. Ooh, with a Greater Gargadon. Ooh, tasty.
Oh, man, I missed that guy.
That's nice. I like that.
It's stupid things with Greater Gargadon. He's awesome.
And then to round it out, Yoshihiko Ikawa is running Tron of the mono green variety.
I respect that.
There's a little bit of black in the board, but, you know.
Two copies of the Ugin.
You gotta have those. So there you go. That's,
Top 8.
That's the top eight. How many people were at this tournament, by the way?
1552.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, for Atlanta. So if we go over to the top stories, we've got the Day 2 metagame breakdown.
Fairly diverse.
Yeah, fairly. That's one way to put it.
That's how Modern works now.
Yeah, there were 34 Humans players, which is just over 10% of the field.
Yep.
25 Burn players, that's about 8%. 23 Jund. 22 Blue-White Control. 21 Bant Spirits. And then it drops off to 19 or less there, and it just keeps going.
Yeah. And this is day two, so it's not like this is just people couldn't decide what got there. These are all decks that have made it through day one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to play Constructed and have choices, probably Modern.
You know what? I'm going to run through the rest of these because it's funny. Tron, Dredge, Hardened Scales, Red-Green Velikut, Ironworks Combo, Grixis Shadow, Jeskai Control, Infect, Storm, Devoted Company, Runaway Red, The Rock, Ad Nauseam, Affinity, Amulet Titan, Bant Company, Bogles, Elves, Is It Phoenix, Abzan, Mardu Pyromancer, Niazoo, Grixis Word, Taking Turns, Blue-Red Wizards, and Other at 25, which that means there's 25 Others because all of these go down to 2. So Other means...
TDCR there, or you could get your degree.
Yeah, you could major in business management or accounting. But, like, seriously, that means there are 25 other single archetypes that didn't fit into any of these. That's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, he even talks about it here. 8-Whack, Bridgevine. Oh, was Bridgevine a singleton? Holy crap, it was.
Wow.
Bright to Light, Scapeshift, Burning Spirits, Cheerios, Devoted Evolution, Domain Shadow, Fairies, Grixis Delver, Hollow One, Jeskai Aggro, Living End, Mardu Phoenix, Mono White Martyr, Possibility Storm, Skred Red, Sultai Midrange, Teemer Delver, Thopter Sword, Blue Red Control, Blue Red Kikijiki, Pyromancer Ascension, White Black Tokens, White Black Zombies, and White Blue Spirits.
And Death.
That is a hell of a, hell of a diverse format.
I want to see the Cheerios list.
Right?
Why is the Cheerios list not here?
Wait, in Modern, doesn't that have to do with the Pure Steel Paladin and Zero Cost Equipment?
That sounds right.
I think it does.
Whew, okay.
You okay there?
Yeah, I survived reading deck lists. Barely.
All right. Thank goodness.
Huh.
And thus you survived tournaments.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that I didn't see any Arclight Phoenix in the top 8. Oh, it even says no Arclight Phoenix has made the top 8. There were 6 copies in the top 32. That's the new Guild's Phoenix that has been showing up in Standard and Modern and is quite spicy. Yeah. Okay, then. So that's Atlanta.
Yeah. Peachtree.
Peachtree indeed.
That's what I hear. And just like that, we're done with... tournaments, because as far as I can tell, Star City didn't have one this week.
So yeah, so as of this morning's news, we're done, right?
Yeah. Surely.
You'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
As of, let's say, 9 a.m. Eastern time, we've covered all the news.
No, not even. Because over the weekend, strange things were afoot.
At the Circle K.
That's the second time you've made that reference to me, and I still don't understand what you're going with.
Oh, it's from Bill and Ted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway. Over the weekend, people were getting, from Wizards of the Coast, some cards.
That's never happened before.
No, actually. directly from Wizards of the Coast. With, to my understanding, I didn't pay, follow very closely the, these things as they happened, but to my understanding, they were sort of apology cards for people who tried and failed or something like that, had issues with trying to order Guilds of Ravnica Mythic Edition from the Hasbro Toy Shop, which, as we know, was damn near everybody who tried to order. Yeah.
I like the idea that apology cards mean something else in this context than it does to anyone else in the world.
That is a good point. But they were, there was one card. Everybody seemed to get one card, and they had the UMA set code on it. And people went, what?
UMA.
And social media exploded as people were trying to figure out what, because they were, what, UMA, and their set number was out of 40?
Yeah, and in fact, as I recall, there were notes from WotC saying, hey, here's the thing, feel free to go ahead and share it on social media, tell everybody about it, more news coming on Monday.
Yeah, this was viral marketing at its best, let's say.
Competent.
Yes. Yes. And yeah, it turns out that the speculation of this is Ultimate Masters was correct. That's what it is. It's a set called Ultimate Masters.
It sure is.
It's another master set.
Hold on. Let me just double check something. We're before we go any further. Today, what's today's date, gentlemen? It is
November 5th, 2018.
Remember, etc.
2018. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So carry on.
Okay. So yeah, it is Ultimate Masters, which is a new set, a new master set that's coming out this year. It comes out December 7th.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like next month.
Yeah. And yes. As a smartass in our chat is pointing out, he says, I distinctly remember somebody on a podcast saying that this would never, ever happen. And you're correct.
That's true.
We
and
said
that's because this would be crazy.
Yes, we said that this wouldn't happen because it would be stupid.
That is, in fact, what we said.
And we were wrong about this happening, because this totally is. And more on things we were wrong about in the near future. But that doesn't mean that we were wrong in thinking that this would be dumb.
We overestimated people.
Yes, we overestimated Wizards of the Coast to not do something dumb. Now, more about this set. It is called Ultimate Masters. It comes out December 7th, which is a month and 2 days from today.
Yeah.
It's 254 cards. They're 24 packs per box, like they do with the booster, the master sets.
No, Babu.
Bye. 15 card boosters with one foil. Okay, yep. They're in English and Japanese. All right. There's one ultimate box topper per box, which is a dumb name for a...
Thank you. It really is.
But you send in box tops to get things.
Yeah, people in my the Manipul Discord server were talking about like getting box toppers. And I'm like, what in the hell is a box topper? Is that what they're naming the masterpiece cards? They're like, yeah. Oh. Why is it called a box topper? Because it's when you open up the box, it's sitting on top.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I was like, what? Because back in the day, this is how old I am, box toppers were oversized cards that you
I
would
still
get.
Have some.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, it's the best Imrakul ever. Because it's huge.
I don't know if I got the Imrakul. But yeah, they were box toppers because they were huge, so that's what we called them. But apparently they're called Ultimate Box Topper because when you open your box, there it is. And that's what people were getting, was the box topper version of these cards. And they had, like, some of them had new art. Some of them had, they all had, like, extended, like, borderless art.
Yep.
And, like, zoomed in borderless art is really cool, actually. I'll show them here in a second.
Which, the borderless art technology is pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. Here, actually, I'll just scroll down right now and show you some
of
these.
It's like getting a card that's already been altered to look good.
Yeah. So, like, your, okay, these colorless cards don't really do it justice. Let's scroll down a bit. Yeah, like, here we go. This Eternal Witness, you can see, instead of just lopping off the borders, they actually zoomed in so it spread out to cover the, where the borders would be. So you're getting the same art, it's just larger.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. Clues, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Did you see the art for Dark Depths?
I did see the art for Dark Depths.
Did you see the full art for it? I sent you a link earlier.
I did. I saw that link, and thank you for sending it.
People in the Discord server were wondering if this would affect your love of diving.
No. I've seen some real creepy stuff while diving.
And like Merit Lodge, though?
Maybe not quite.
The trick is to get out while there's still ice counters. This is why global warming is actually going to kill us all.
And the other card art people were all over was Through the Breach. There
Which
it
looks
is.
Looks really cool.
Oh, yeah, the Through the Breach art is pretty awesome.
This is Nahiri right here actually pulling Imrakul into
Innistrad.
Innistrad, thank you. I'm like, wait, hang on. Yeah. No, not that one. The
Which
one
is
after
great
that.
Because Through the Breach is from Kamigawa, but the event that it describes fits perfectly with what happened in Innistrad. And it this is really also does. What people do when they're playing Through the Breach.
There is that, yeah.
So it's just perfect.
So, yeah. As you can see, these are really cool. More on those later, though.
Yeah, so these ultimate box toppers. Oh, God, I hate that name. These ultimate box toppers include
UBT.
Every mythic in the set, plus some other stuff. Mostly rares, although there's at least one, I think maybe two uncommons.
Really?
Yeah, like Kitchen Finks are in here.
Yeah, Kitchen Finks, and I think Noble Hierarch is at...
No,
rare.
Noble
Hierarch
is rare.
I thought there was one other.
Eternal Witness.
An uncommon. Yeah.
Which those
Eternal
two...
Witness is the other one, yeah.
Those two make sense.
Sure.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Pretty good. So they showed off all 40 of the possible ultimate box topper cards, and they all have this neato art.
Yep.
Although they occur in the set as well with not quite as neato art because it's not the full frame,
right?
But still pretty sweet. So if it was new art, like for Snapcaster Mage, for instance, it is the new Snapcaster Mage that's in the set. Other than that, I think there's like one or two other cards that we know about, including Entomb, although it's not on here. Entomb was shown officially on a WotC site in this set. But hey, if you want to know more, since you know the set's right around the corner, get ready, get set for previews. Previews will take place the Monday and Tuesday of the week of Thanksgiving, with the full set on Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 weeks, everybody.
So wait a minute. So the 19th and 20th.
Yeah.
Will be preview season.
That's correct.
2 weeks.
That's actually awesome, because never-ending preview season actually makes me sick. So,
good news.
Getting this out just bleh, will be awesome. Yeah.
Sure.
So, there's more, though. I'm not done yet. So, you get one ultimate box topper per box. And as from what I understand, these aren't like masterpieces. You don't find them in the set. Like, they're not randomly in
booster.
No,
they're just...
Yeah,
they're just
only
box
in a special pack. Yeah.
Now, when they say special pack, they mean this on the screen right now, which is the ultimate box topper. They didn't just throw this high dollar card on top of the packs in the box. They're actually in a little tiny little booster thing.
They put them in there so that on the secondary market, you can gamble hardcore.
Although, sealed product, not for resale. Look at it right there.
Oh, I see it. I can barely see the H13 plus because they put together this in a hurry.
So, you get your Ultimate Masters box, and you get the one box topper, and so that means, it's a master set, so they're gonna be a little expensive.
Just skosh.
But it's, $335.76 MSRP per box.
Yeah, you heard that right. Say it again.
$335.76.
For a 24-pack box.
Yes, that's right. 24 packs.
Now, these will only be available as boxes at game stores, right?
Yes, that is the plan. Which that decision right there, I am super happy about that decision right there.
Yes, that is brilliant. And the MSRP is so high that I don't know how game stores could jack it up too high and still have people actually buy it. So
life will find a way.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not really sure I agree with you there, because this product... Okay, so let's... Are we ready to talk about conceptually this product?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Also, you can get a 3-pack blister pack at like the big box stores, Target and Walmart, etc., for $34.99.
It will not include an ultimate box topper.
Correct. It'll just be three packs.
Right. Yeah.
So how much are they per pack? Because it doesn't say that anywhere. On Magic Online, you can buy them for $7 a pack. But
which would never scale up.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. They're $14, according to chat.
Yeah.
Per pack.
Yes, it comes out to $13.99 a pack when you divide by 24.
I think what was missing all along with these Masters editions was $14 packs. I think that's right.
I mean, that's just the next step in the trend when you go from, you know, 7 to, like...
9. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
Now, we're going to crack jokes about this because it's us, yeah. But...
It's true.
I would like to say that we're not here to crap on anybody who wants to spend this money to get this. Clearly, this is a whale product, just like the Guilds of Ravnica Master, a Mythic Edition. Yeah. This is for the people who are heavily invested and have money to burn, and that's all it's for, because it's $335 freaking dollars.
Yeah, the barrier to entry is high enough that this is not a casual pick-it-up-and-see-what-happens thing. And odds are, when stores are like, we're going to do a draft, and they're charging people, like, you know, $40 to do a draft, they may have trouble firing those. They may not. It depends on the hype at the moment. But this is definitely not for the casual Magic player, especially when the cards you open are not likely going to be something that you'll be able to play with in Standard. So this is a collector thing and a get cool cards for your casual deck or EDH deck or, you know, your non-rotating format deck.
Right.
Or your cube.
Yeah. I do want to join the chorus before we say anything too overly critical here. I do want to join the chorus of my co-hosts and say, okay, this product is not meant for us, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Every product doesn't need to appeal to every player. That is absolutely, totally true, and I'm sure there are people, although there have been a chorus of voices that are like, that is crazy talk to pay that much money. There's been a lot of that, but I'm sure that there are people that are like, oh yeah, I can't wait to get my hands on this, and that they're really, really stoked about it. And for them, great. Good on you. Good on you. I'm glad that WotC has finally found a product that is expensive enough for you, is what I'll say.
Yeah.
But wow. Let me say something. Let me put also with another positive note. When Guilds of Ravnica Mythic Edition happened, my biggest complaint about it really was that this was a product that they could have put into the local game stores to drive sales at the local game stores, and they did not.
Yep.
They made it only through Hasbro's website, which is a little like, I'm going to say it's a little like throwing yourself down a flight of stairs.
What do you mean a little?
Except that I think you'll probably find the overall experience of throwing yourself down a flight of stairs more rewarding than using the Hasbro.
What he's trying to say is that unlike the WotC website or the Hasbro Toy Shop website, if you throw yourself down a flight of stairs, you know where you're going.
Yes.
You know you're going to get there, and you know about how long it's going to take.
And you know right away.
And you're going to find out immediately whether or not there's a bottom. And there's always a bottom.
Yeah.
When you go to the toy shop, you don't know what you're going to get. But you know it's probably still going to hurt.
So this time, I love that they have given this as a product to the local game store. Because I do think that they need all the help they can get. And I like when WotC goes ahead and says, here, this will definitely drive sales to you guys. Particularly with the only way to get these ultimate box toppers, to buy a box through your.
I'm hoping that the game stores that do decide that they're going to crack one of these open for, you know, an awesome baller draft, decide that the best way to do it is to, you know, you pay to get in, you pay like, you know, roughly the cost in packs plus maybe a little extra, and then they use the box topper as the first place prize.
Yeah, I think that'd be an awesome.
That would be the hope, yeah.
Because that seems easy and fun to do, and people would have a good time. Because you don't really need to sweeten the pot that much for this kind of thing. Like, people are already going to be ponying up, I guess, $42+. So, now, presumably, it'll be worth it.
Now, I can't remember if it was Chewy or Squee. One of you guys made the comment that hopefully the game stores that do get these won't jack the price up too much. I'm not sure that it will matter, right? I mean, this product is already so flippin' expensive that no one... I really don't think, given the kind of coverage that we've seen, given the things that they've said about this set so far, I'm not really sure that this set was designed with good limited experience in mind, as much as, holy crap, these are all really awesome cards. So... I don't think anybody's out there thinking to themselves, you know, I'm just going to get $335 and just have the greatest draft experience with my buddies ever. It'll be awesome. I think the kinds of people who are going to buy this, who actually want to purchase this product, are more than willing to spend more than the $335. I think we've already gone into, a Magic population that isn't going to be upset if your LGS does jack this up a bit.
So another thing to point out that may be interesting to you, when you're looking over that giant list of all of the ultimate box toppers, I want you to remember that if the box is MSRPing at $335.76 for your 24 packs and your box topper, and stores have blister packs, like these are a thing that you can find at $35, then buying 24 packs of blister packs is going to come out $55.84 under getting a box. So if you just want the cards and you don't want to play the ultimate box topper lottery, you can save yourself $56. But if you want to, you know, play that game, then keep in mind that you're paying essentially $55 to open one of those box toppers and hope it's a cool one. So the math is interesting how big the jump is between the blister packs that you can get at any store and getting the box at a game store.
Well, the blister packs, if I remember correctly, are only going to be at the big box stores. Is that right?
That's probably the case, but I don't know that.
Okay, maybe not only, but they will be at, like,
they will be at stores. Those. That's the point of them.
Yeah.
But just keep that in mind. I think that it's one of those rare times where there's a sizable difference that is entirely chalked up to the value of the special promo buy box, effectively. Because normally that's just like a nice extra when you go through the trouble of buying a whole box. But in this case, it's nearly a $60 add-on to get that.
Yeah. Which some of these are going to go for that easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
I mean, these are not going to be things that, you know, everyone has. And if you like to have that cool thing in your binder, then this is one of the that cool things in your binder.
Yeah. So... Oh, with all that said, I have a lot of problems with the way that this set and its release is being handled, but the price tag is not one of them. Like, if they want to charge $335 for a box of this, whatever. Hopefully, there will be enough in there to make it worth it. And if not, well, then that sucks. But that's not one of my problems.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I move on to the next topic in the this topic right here? Do you mind if I talk about that for a second?
I have no idea what you're pointing at.
I'm in the show notes. I was clicking on the show.
I can't see the show notes without showing the stream the show notes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then I'm just gonna do it.
There's one more thing that's here. Yeah. This is the last Master set for the foreseeable future.
Right.
This is the end. Beautiful friend.
I think they said, quote, for a while, unquote.
Yeah, well, in this, it says for the foreseeable future, so.
Yeah.
Right.
It says we're instead focusing on other products that will also include reprints, but, yeah. So that's a thing.
Yeah. Totally a thing.
Yeah, which, considering this will mean we had two Master sets a year for the last 2 years, I mean, that's probably good. It's probably good.
Like, throwing a theory out there, I think that what they've realized is that having the Master sets be, this is where we put all the really cool stuff, but we have to charge a lot for it, caters to one audience, but then still trying to build something that you can, in theory, draft or play with, caters to a very different audience. And what they've probably realized is that they can make separate products for both of them. And one of them might be the, here's all these awesome, cool planeswalkers that you can get through the Hasbro Toy Shop. And the other one would be, let's actually just make sets that are probably fun to draft. using reprints.
Yeah, like they can do stuff like Conspiracy and Battle Bond and put crazy reprints in there and cater to both of those audiences.
Right. So instead of everyone getting something that's expensive for what they want to do or watered down with a bunch of cards they don't care about because they just want cool reprints, they're probably splitting those efforts. And that's what I think any business would do 5 or 6 of these in. So that's my theory as to why that would be happening.
That sounds good. So, okay. Clues.
Yeah.
You wanted to do something new. What is this?
Yeah, I totally want to talk about, okay, so this set is coming, right? It's going to be a thing. It's going to be a spectacle, no matter how you feel about its pricing or its EV or the cards or the art or any of that stuff. I think we can all agree it's totally going to be a thing. Let's say you want to play. How soon can you play? Well, we all know that it releases on December the 7th, but if that's not enough for you, you can head to PAX Unplugged, where Pastime Events is running the Magic events, and they have some special preview events for Ultimate Masters happening at PAX Unplugged. Now, we have Ultimate Sealed going on. We also have Ultimate Two-Headed Giant going on, and I happen to know that my lovely wife is watching the stream right now, and so I'm going to ask her a question that I have not yet asked her. Hey, honey, you know how we're going to PAX Unplugged? How would you like to play Two-Headed Giant with Ultimate Masters Sealed for the low, low price of $120? How's that sound? You want to do that? Just gonna wait for her response here. While I wait for her response, maybe
later in divorce
instead
court.
Of the Two-Headed Giant, we will instead play the Sealed. Would you like to play Sealed with Ultimate Masters? How would you like to pay $80 to play Sealed with Ultimate Masters? How would that go?
I mean, 2 blister packs would be $70, so there you go.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's value? Question mark.
So how much is the draft, just while you're throwing out amounts? Because I assume you had it open.
Let me see if I can find the draft. Chaos draft. Ultimate draft is $40. 40.
Okay.
And I guess that's not terrible. Yeah,
that's actually
not bad.
Closer to the scope with drafting.
That's not bad. So my wife has responded about the Two-Headed Giant. She asks, can I buy a ukulele instead? I actually think that's a better idea.
Will the ukulele have extended art?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
There's no decision
order
here.
On it. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, they're running one of each Sealed Two-Headed Giant in draft on Friday, November 30th and on Saturday, December 1st. And then they're doing Two-Headed Giant and Sealed on Sunday. So check out the PAX Unplugged schedule or pastimes.net or whatever to figure that out. But there you go. So was that it for that clues?
Yeah, that was it. I just wanted to bring up that if people want to play it early, there will be early ones.
Okay, so there's one more thing regarding Ultimate Masters. And that is, you remember a month ago yesterday, actually, we just looked this up before the show. A month ago yesterday, so on October 4th, we did the Emergency Thursday Evening Magic episode. You remember that?
I do.
And like we talked about
last month.
Yeah, we talked about Grand Prix Vancouver being suddenly changed from a team sealed event to an individual sealed event with no explanation, only less than 3 months out.
Yeah.
From the start of the event, and we all went, that's really dumb, and we made fun of the tinfoil hat people who were like, there's going to be a secret master set and that's going to be the format, and we were like, that's really dumb,
it's crazy talk,
WotC wouldn't do that because that's stupid. And then guess what? Yeah, they did. GP Vancouver, totally, which is where the hell is it
in Vancouver?
No, where is there really no date on the GP Vancouver registration page? Are you serious?
Oopsies. That's kind of funny.
There's not a date on here anywhere. So presumably you know when it is. It's the 30th of December, I think?
Schedule information coming soon.
What? No, we know when the damn GP is.
I know, it's just funny. Yes, it's Friday the 28th through Sunday the 30th.
Okay, thank you. I was just going to the site to look it up because it's not on the registration page. Which is quite possibly the dumbest thing ever.
Also, there will be no same-day main event registration, since we're spitting that out.
Hasn't been same-day main event registration for years now.
Correct. I'm saying it because people may suddenly change their mind about this, since they just changed the format a month and a half out.
That is true.
And I assume they've changed the pricing accordingly?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, to get into the main event, it's $150. Canadian, which is how much, Bill?
$115 US.
$115 US, right.
Yeah. So, hey, you're coming to this event. Thanks. Thanks for booking early. Got your hotel. Oh, we're going to change the format, by the way. It's different now.
So.
Time passes. Hey, we got good news. We got bad news. Good news. Super neato new set. Bad news. Oh my God, the price.
So they started by suddenly, without warning, changing less than 3 months out, changing this event from team sealed to individual sealed. Completely annoying lots of people that were planning on going. And people were very public about this. That's why we talked about it on that episode, is because it made a big splash when they did this. And so now, a month later, they said, by the way, it's this crazy new format. Yay. So for those of you that already booked a flight and whatnot, planning on playing normal things, guess what? It's going to cost you twice as much. With no warning.
Yeah.
Comparatively, no warning. And for everyone who already said, well, if it's not team, I don't want to go, and made other plans, hey, it's crazy, it's super limited format, because there's this, and there's Magic Fest some other place.
Now, I know we've joked in the past that that Magic players have a tendency to complain about just about anything that happens. That WotC could release packs that have a $20 bill tucked inside, and people would just be upset that it's not a $50 bill. At the same time,
costs $40, then here we are.
My God, they don't make it easy to plan for these sorts of things. I mean, it's neat. It's an interesting set, I guess. I mean, I don't know. We haven't seen the rest of it yet. It might be an interesting set.
But it has the information you have now if you want to decide you're going.
These last minute changes are just terrible for anyone trying to plan what to do.
Yeah. By the way, Magic Fest Prague, January 11th through the 13th. Because remember, next year, they're going to be Magic Fest, which is really neat. Magic Fest Prague will be Ultimate Masters. Just throwing that out there. So it's not like Vancouver's your only shot, but the other shot's in Prague, and it's only less than 2 weeks later. So,
yeah,
you know. So the fact that this is insanely short notice, and it's during the holiday season, like, all of this just comes together as a big middle finger to people who were thinking of going, or were maybe planning on going. And the fact, we were talking about this before the show, the fact that this is all so last minute and crammed in at the end of the year, to me, and possibly my co-hosts, this smells like corporate meddling.
Yeah.
Like, this smells like...
I'm getting.
Yeah, this smells like Hasbro going, hey, you know that set you were going to release next year? Nope, you're doing it this year. Do it now, but you can't announce it till this time. And so, but Channel Fireball had to make the change on Vancouver because they didn't know about it when they set the schedule. This whole thing stinks of last minute nonsense.
It does. And it's possible that they didn't make the announcement. So I've got my own tinfoil hat theories about some of this stuff, but it seems like they weren't willing to make the announcement until after they knew that they could actually get enough of this printed to make those events happen.
Quite possible.
Okay. That wouldn't surprise me.
That's not even a big jump. Yeah, so, this is weird. The idea that you might have decided with your friends that you want to go play this team limited event. Well, if you go, they do have team sealed. It's Ultimate Masters, $300 Canadian.
Oh, God.
That's a side event, right?
That is the Friday tournament, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the main event. It's a side event. But that's what you get to do on Friday if you want to do three-player team sealed. At this event, that was originally the point of it, was team sealed. Now, unlike a lot of other formats, you have to practice a lot if you want to be able to play in a team limited format. You could show up without it, but odds are if you're taking this seriously, you're putting in a lot of time.
And if you're willing to pay $228 US for the privilege, you should take it seriously.
Except this is going to be a lot harder to practice.
Yep.
You're going to get the set the week of Thanksgiving. You'll have, you know,
that's a whole lot of time.
Yes, American Thanksgiving, right, because it's Canadian. Yeah, American Thanksgiving. And you're going to have a month to, I guess, grind it out in Magic Online, and maybe that's the point. I don't know. But that's going to be your practice. So there's just a lot here. It feels rushed, and I also think that the fact that they're specifically, you know, pushing this thing out right now when they're also ending the, you know, Masters series for the time being makes me think that they're definitely getting the direction to push in. And like, and you know, 2019, we want to do these other things instead. So go ahead and just get this out. We don't want to wait. You've already got the art, so do it now. And well, you can't just wait for a Vegas. Just go ahead and have it. And we'll see what happens. But I don't know. They obviously didn't tell us that's what's going on. But typically when they announce things like this, they do it at a big event. They don't just post it on the website or mail out some cards as apologies. Like, this is the kind of stuff that you announce at Worlds.
Yeah.
Or like when you have your like super extreme, like our top two players are playing to be the best. Like, this is the kind of thing that you do with that to get hype. None of that was planned.
WotC so carefully controls, or at least they plan to carefully control, how the rollout goes with preview cards and what gets previewed when and who they're talking to and where they're showing things off to kind of string out and maximize the hype. And this time it's like, new set, everybody. Here's all the mythics.
Here's the stuff you care about. We'll give you the rest in a few weeks.
Yep. See you in Thanksgiving.
So, yeah, if you're all about some Ultimate Masters, by all means, go for it. It's probably meant for you.
Yeah.
I hope you have a lot of fun with it. I hope it turns out to be amazing, but I'm still going to wonder pretty much forever if it would have been better if they'd been able to take their time and roll it out in the way that they roll out every other product they release. Like, we don't really get a month of hype and surprise with this one.
I mean, you get surprise.
We got a surprise.
Sure did.
So, yeah. While I personally don't have a problem with the price tag, because, let's be real, I haven't been able to afford anything that Magic has released in, like, 5 years. So, this could be $1 million, and I'd be like, well, that's not for me. It could be $20, and I'd be like, well, that's not for me. So, like, that's completely irrelevant to me. So, looking at it from the outsider's perspective, I don't care what it costs. Yeah, that's really high. That's really high. That's really high. That's really high. Like,
is it high?
It's really high.
Like, you went out and you got a giant expensive box, and it either has a console in it or 24 packs of this.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but again, I recognize that it's not for me.
Right.
And that's fine. And to all the people that have been complaining about it being so expensive, they probably didn't buy the previous Master sets. So shut up, your opinion doesn't matter. So
it's probably not for you. They've released 15 million other products this year that were more likely for you.
Yeah. So, like, the people complaining about the price are most likely the people who weren't going to buy it anyway. So don't listen to them. But what I don't like about this is the rush and the whole GP Vancouver, everything about that. Just feels wrong, and it feels like it's not something WotC usually does, which, again, leads me to believe that there's some sort of meddling here. So, and yes, as the same smartass in the chat keeps pointing out, well, no one bought the last Master set. Fine. They must have a reason. They don't look at their sales numbers and go, as the running joke has been since this was announced, wow, nobody bought the last Master set. We should double the price. Yeah, that's Rich. Obviously. Yeah, that's obviously not what Wizards is thinking. So that line of thought is completely stupid and you need to shut up. So they must have a reason for this, whether it's Hasbro going bump it up or it's they just know that this is a better set, or the value's there, or what. We don't know yet, and you don't either. So, meh. But my problem is with the timeline and how quickly it is and how much it's going to screw over. And this is right after that. Like I said at the beginning, this is a whale product. This is for the people that have money to spend and are willing to spend it. This is right after Guilds of Ravnica Mythic Edition, which was also a whale product.
And will probably be a recurring whale product in place of Masters for a lot of people in the future.
That wouldn't surprise me, yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either.
I don't know. It just none of this feels right. That's my take. Like I said, the cost doesn't bother me. It's the timing and the rush that bothers me.
Yeah.
And if the cost bothers you, well,
it's not for you.
It's not for you, yeah.
And again, we want to stress a message that we have tried to stress over the years. WotC can make a thing that's not for you, and that's okay.
Correct. Like, oddly enough, after the first one, I don't see very many people that don't play Commander complaining about the Commander products.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
True Name Nemesis was still a terrible idea.
Jeez, here we go with this again.
It was.
So anyway, let's move on.
All right.
Are we done with Ultimate Masters?
Well, we won't be until after December.
Don't worry. Once it comes out, we'll be running head-on into Ravnica Allegiance in late January.
That's true.
So we won't even have time to think about it.
And it's Mythic Edition.
And let's see. Also, as always, links to all of these things are in the show notes. So if you want the announcement, you want a link to the reveal stream on YouTube, you want a link to the preview events at PAX Unplugged, you want a link to the GP Vancouver stuff, all of that's in the show notes. Okay? Okay.
Yes, sir.
But the problem is, if we stop there, I think we're done with this episode, because there's nothing else in the show notes.
Yeah, well, I don't know that there's necessarily a problem with that.
I want you guys to go, like, since we're done talking about the real news with it, I want you to go back to that Ultimate Masters list and look for the mono white cards.
Yeah,
and
sure.
When you find one, we'll tune in next week and tell us where it was.
Let us know.
Yeah. So real quick, let's run through these because it's funny. And I've already run myself out of breath once with the list, so let's do it again. Okay. We've got Imrakul the Aeons Torn, Karn Liberated, Kozilek, Butcher of Truth, Ulamog the Infinite Gyre, Snapcaster Mage. Wait, wasn't that where the mono white would be?
Yeah, it's where it would have been.
Huh. Temporal Manipulation, Bitter Blossom, Demonic Tutor with sick art.
I like that art a lot. I like that he's teaching the guy how to row a boat. He's like, no, like this. You have to use your back. Coordinator, you go in circles.
We have creepy Japanese ghost art, Goryeo's Vengeance.
Yeah.
Which is vastly superior to the original Goryeo's Vengeance art, which is a little...
Agreed.
Yeah.
Liliana of the Veil, Micaeus the Unhallowed, Reanimate.
With a Grave Titan in it.
Holy crap, that is a Grave Titan, isn't it?
You're reanimating the reanimator.
That's pretty funny. Tassiger the Golden Fang.
No banana.
Completely... inferior because of the lack of the zombie head fruit bowl.
Yeah, it's missing out.
Terrible. Balefire Dragon, Through the Breach with the sick art. Eternal Witness, Life from the Loam with also sick art. Is that new?
Or I feel like I've seen it before.
Is that from something else?
I just don't know.
Like, okay. It's one of those things where, like, we've seen art like that enough times that I'm not sure if that's new or if it's just similar.
Yeah, I'm not either. Noble Hierarch, Tarmogoyf.
Ah.
Yeah. Vengevine, Gaddock Teague, Leovold Emissary of Trest, Lord of Extinction, Maelstrom Pulse, Sigarda Host of Herons, Fulminator Mage. He looks happy, doesn't he?
Look at my art! Look at it! I will destroy the land! Non-basic land, you are mine! He's all proud. He's like,
wow, I didn't
he's
realize
like a happy flaming Skeletor.
I didn't realize that had a push to talk. That's really cool. Kitchen Finks, Engineered Explosives, Mana Vault, ooh, Platinum Empyrean, who looks like he just like woke up and is staggering home in this art.
I feel like he's going to ask me for like my clothes and motorcycle.
Right.
And I would probably give them to him if I had a motorcycle, since that last guy stole it.
Aww.
I need to stop hanging out in random drug stuff.
You really do. Ancient Tomb, which is rare, by the way.
Yeah.
Cavern of Souls, Celestial Colonnade, Creeping Tar Pit, Dark Depths, Caracas, Lava Claw Reaches, which I'm really amazed there was any need for that, Raging Ravine, Stirring Wildwood, and Urborg Tomb of Yawgmoth.
I think Lava Claw's there by virtue of we got a cycle.
Yeah, pretty much.
That would be the one that I would get if I put down $300 for one of these boxes.
People get real pissed if you put out just part of a cycle.
I guess.
That's true.
Seems like an odd cycle, but maybe though that particular cycle is big in Commander or something. I don't know. I know I've got like all of my copies of all of those in Commander decks. So
I think they wanted to put Colonnade and Tar Pits in it.
Yeah.
And that meant that they felt like they had to bring the rest.
I can see that. But anyway, so there you go. That is the complete list of the ultimate box toppers.
Hmm. I like how the fancy, you know, special versions don't have flavor text, so their layouts look cleaner a lot of the time. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
And, I mean, granted, the box text is also either. Smaller, but they look clean.
Yeah, they also don't have reminder text.
Yeah, I was just looking at Goryeo's Vengeance, which has 4 lines of reminder text, and this has none.
Yeah.
Actually, not reanimate.
I like to compare, look at the two noble hierarchs.
Noble hierarchy. Yeah, that is a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
Nice. Anyway.
Yeah, so that's really the highlight of the day. All this neat stuff.
Oop, wrong one.
I look forward to the inevitable wallpaper posting for some of these.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's gonna... What the... What? Excuse me. There we go. Ah. Hi, it's us again.
We are scening.
All right, then. So, I guess we are done with this episode, because Magic Online had nothing interesting.
Yeah, your Magic Online news is that this product is going to be in Magic Online on December 7th at $6.99 a pack. It will not be redeemable. That's your news.
Surprise, surprise. No? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. So, what you got, then, gentlemen?
You guys? Us too. You can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinNabob. There's no I in Goblin because it's voting and you should vote too. That's really what I'm going to harp on, because if you're in America and you haven't voted yet, Election Day is probably when you're listening to this. It's really important to vote. I will not tell you how to vote. You've probably figured out where I would like you to vote and how I'd like you to vote if you've been listening to me at all. So I'm just going to tell you that it's really important to vote. And it's really important to make sure that whatever demographic you fall into is represented, no matter how you want to divide that. If you don't vote, you get ignored. So don't get ignored. And that's all I'm going to throw out there right now. So go Clues.
All right. You can find me on the Twitters. I'm at LockLuzé, spelled just like it is in the show notes. We do have show notes. It has all those links. You should check it out. I'm going to echo Squee here. Vote. If it's not too late and you're listening to this right now and you can vote, go vote. Seriously, vote. Have you voted yet?
Who, me?
No, whoever's listening to this.
Oh, okay.
You don't listen to me, so that's fine.
I'm sorry, what?
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I think that's it. I feel like there was something. Oh yeah, daylight saving time sucks. go ahead, Chewie.
He's not wrong. It sucks. But yes, hello. First off, doing a charity live stream for Take This again this year, November 17th and possibly 18th, you know, depending on how dead I am. But it's going to start probably in the late morning, 11, 12 o'clock, something like that. And we'll go until I drop. So I'm planning on at least a 12-hour stream. So it's going to, like I said, it's going to be for Take This and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm trying to come up with a theme to tie all the games that I play together. But I'm having trouble narrowing it down. Maybe my co-host can help real quick. I've got
We can submit awesome ideas.
I've got it narrowed down to... what was that? Magnus just threw 1,000 bits and said, go. There's no swearing on Monday Night Magic. Ing vote.
Excellent points. Excellent points there.
Is that a kilobit?
It's a kilobit.
I hate you.
You should. It's awful.
Anyway,
you slap your head.
It's, so maybe you guys can help me out. I've got narrowed down right now to either doing all roguelikes.
Uh huh.
Because I want games that you can play for, you know, an hour or two. and then move on to another game and not feel like, oh, I wish I could have finished that story or something. So roguelikes are good for that.
Yeah.
And because roguelike is so broad, it's like superhero movie. It goes across all kinds of different genres. And I've got a bunch of different genres of roguelikes. So that's the leader right now.
Sure.
There's ninja games, because I've got a bunch of different genres of ninja games. Or there's zombie games, because I have a bunch of different genres of zombie games. But I'm leaning towards roguelike for the bite size, you know, play for an hour or two and then go to something else.
You'll probably get the most variety out of that.
That's what I'm thinking. And like I said, we won't be like, okay, well, it's been 2 hours. We got to stop this story-based game and go play this other one now. Sorry. So, you know what? That's it. I've just made up my mind right now. We're going to be playing roguelikes for charity. Roguelikes for take this. Take this, roguelike. I'll come up with something snappy, maybe. But again,
it's November. A rogue. They are likely to take things.
Yeah, there we go. Well, sure. We're going to, like I said, it's November 17th. Eastern time, like 11 or 12 o'clock. I don't know. See how I feel when I wake up that morning. Because little known fact, when I wake up in the morning, I look dead for a good 2 hours. And that's just the way I sleep, I guess. I don't know. But that's why I don't stream until nighttime. Because if I were to get up and come sit on camera, people would be like, did Chewy die in the night? Because yes, apparently I did.
You kind of have to check for that DNR wristband when you see him in the morning. It's weird.
It is, yeah. So there you go. That'll be right here on twitch.tv/themanapool. And by the way, during the charity live stream, I'll be giving away games to people that donate. I have a lot of games from bundles and whatnot just piled up. Games I already own, games that I don't want, games that aren't for me. So those will be given away throughout the charity live stream, just like they were last year. Yes. Okay. More details to come as I figure out which games I'm going to play. I can say for a fact that Crypt of the NecroDancer will be one of them.
That was a safe one, no matter which genre you picked.
Are there zombies? Yeah. I don't think they're ninjas, are there?
The thing about ninjas is you're never entirely sure.
Ah!
That's fair.
Because Crypt of the NecroDancer was a gift from Stark Maximum a long time ago, and I have never gotten around to actually playing it, which makes me upset. So there you go. But what else? So all the usual things over on youtube.com/themanapool. Videos of the messenger are still going up.
Is awesome.
Do what?
That game's awesome.
That game is awesome. So my first stream session, it had discrete levels and I played through them and it was awesome. And then right at the end, it went from an 8-bit game to a 16-bit game, which blew me away, even though I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And then I stopped streaming for the night. And then like a month or so later, I picked it up to stream again because I finally ran out of YouTube videos. And it turned into this crazy Metroidvania game where I'm jumping back and forth between 8-bit and 16-bit on the fly. And it blew my freaking mind.
It was weird because watching you play it, I'm like, it's like if you're playing Ninja Gaiden mixed with Sonic CD. Because that's kind of what was happening. And
it's so cool.
The thing is, like, because you, over the course of it, have to get the hang of a lot of reflex jumps, and you utilize the, like, NES-style, like, enemies spawn every time the screen moves off of them, they leverage that in the game design. So it looks like you're some kind of super unstoppable speedrunner when really you just have to do that to get across the room.
Yeah.
And
there are a couple
really
of rooms where like I'm over this giant bottomless pit and I drop down to see what's going on and there are these enemies coming towards me and if I wait too long and they get too close to me, I now can't use them to get across the pit and I have to go off screen and come back.
I think it was really nice because one of the big things in gaming that game developers like to talk about is how in the original, like, you know, NES style games, you didn't assume that people read a manual and you didn't really build in tutorials. You had to use the game mechanics to teach people how to play.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that is like you put a reward there, you go towards the coins and then you find the one up. And that's how you learn. These are what coins are. This is what a one up is. And you put things in places where people are naturally going to want to go. And I could see that at work in every bit of the game while you were playing it. So you could tell that it was put together by people who knew what they were doing. So I would recommend checking that out if you haven't.
It
go
is.
Watch it. You're putting up your recordings, I assume.
Yeah, yeah, they're going up on YouTube.
Yeah, so watch those when they go up on YouTube. It looked like a lot of fun. And the music is super catchy, like a 18...
Oh my god.
Like an 8-bit or 16-bit classic way of...
It's so catchy. I've been listening
for an hour and I don't hate it.
It's so... The music is so good. So, yeah. And by the way, if you want to buy it yourself, earlier today I signed up to be a Humble Partner, so you can use the Humble Partner link, and if you buy it through the Humble Store on humblebundle.com... using my link, then I get some manner of kickback. I don't know. I've never done that before. But if you're going to buy it anyway, huh?
There you go.
But anyway. I got the Golden Warlock that went up on YouTube, and I did Layers of Fear. I played the scary game that went up in 3 extra long parts on YouTube. And actually, right before the episode, I was working on a Lost Eternal video that I had and I forgot to edit. Where I tackled this campaign that's one fight, but it's like a puzzle, and it was really interesting, and I'm glad I recorded it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be going up soon, along with more Messenger, and this. Nice. Onto that magic. But anyway, here on twitch.tv/themanapool, that's where I stream things like Eternal and, what is this? Monday Night Magic and the Manapool, and the Messenger, and Layers of Fear. And on Halloween itself, I streamed a game called Darkwood that I didn't like at all, but I'm going to try it again using the mouse and keyboard like I'm supposed to. And, yeah, I also played some Dead Island that night. That old first-person zombie-killing RPG. It's pretty good.
Nice.
So all of that and more. I got to finish The Walking Dead before the charity stream because I want to. And
that's fair.
I've got a few other games in mind to start streaming, so... Yeah, come hang out here on Twitch. So, now, if you would like to become a lifeguard and be a sponsor for Manapool Productions, then you can do that on patreon.com/... I just realized there are 5 of us on the call now.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Sky Bison and a Fire Ferret that have joined on the call. Anyway... You can go to patreon.com/themanapool and become a lifeguard. The uncommon lifeguards get early access to YouTube videos and to Manapool episodes. And they get a silver name in the Manapool Discord server because they're uncommon.
Because uncommon.
Yeah, the rare lifeguards get a gold name in the Discord server and get the early stuff and get access to the odds and ends, which is the behind-the-scenes nonsense recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool that is uncensored and unfiltered. And then, finally, the mythic lifeguards get the mythic orange name in the Discord server. By the way, this confusion came up earlier today. The Discord server's for everybody. All you gotta do is click the link. Have Discord. If you don't have Discord already, it'll prompt you to download it and make an account and all that. But if you already have Discord, you should totally join. Especially today, we had a lot of good conversations about, well, Ultimate Masters and lots of magic stuff. People talking about the charity stream and Hearthstone. There's all kinds of just massive amounts of discussion going on in the Discord server today. And it was awesome.
Well, good.
Yeah. But like I said, mythic people get the mythic orange name. And you get the early stuff, and you get the odds and ends, and you get the sponsorship shout-out on both podcasts and on the end screen for all the YouTube videos each month. So, I would like to thank our mythic lifeguards, Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Paul David, Lance Delicious, Team ULS Haru, Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Jeff Spencer, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Bosco Bretain, Casey, Fayan Says, Danny Liao, Jason Doan, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Gothic Man, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Keith Moody, John Parker, Violet Moon, Dan Holm, Bartle, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. And how many long-ass lists can I read on one episode?
States, Canada, Mexico, Panama.
Now don't start that again. But yes, thank you to all of my patrons at all tiers. You quite literally make it so that I'm able to do this. And thank goodness. Because this is the only job I've ever had that I really like.
Yay.
Thank goodness knows, I've had a lot of crappy jobs. But anyway. So there you go. That is this episode of Monday Night Magic, which was number what? 630?
Yeah. 630. 630.
So there you go. I've been Chewy. That's been Squee and Clues and the Sky Bison and the Fire Ferret. Yeah. So I remember Appa's name, but I don't remember the Fire Ferret's name, so I feel bad.
Pavu.
Right. And Appa and Pavu. And Clues' hat, if you were here at the beginning.
Yeah, there was a hat. Yeah.
One.
Yeah, so, two hats.
Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.